You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning, everyone. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. This is the day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Oh, I'm so happy to be alive, to see this wonderful city, to smell the fresh air this morning, and to be here with you for new discoveries. This morning, we're going to talk to Deacon Alfred Coleman, and I don't know if he's been on our show. If he has, it's been a little while. So we're going to talk with him this morning and learn some things. And hopefully everyone is perky this morning so we can participate in listening. Good morning, Deacon Coleman.
Good morning, Deacon John. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good day.
That's good, Deacon. You know, I haven't seen you in a little while. So what's going on in your neighborhood?
Things are going well. You know, the acting is going well. Zacchaeus' house is stable, and we're looking forward to our new event coming up in December. Getting ready for our Christmas season.
Yeah.
I'm at a different parish. I'm at St. James on Wabash now.
But tell us about that, Deacon, because that's close to me now. So how long have you been over there?
Going on 2 years.
Good gracious. 2 years. Wow. All right, so tell us a little bit about St. James.
Well, St. James Parish is going through a lot of development, you know, with the food pantry over there in the parish, and it's worked with many of the local universities. We got a lot of college students coming through. It's a good, strong parish where it works with the parishioners and also the many students and family growth. It's a good place to be.
Man, it sounds.
It was a nice move for me and Avis.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It sounds like a blessing. It sounds like a parish I would like to be at. No, you know, I just love being around young people these days.
Yeah.
You know, God has massaged my heart. He's changed me from this corporate guy to this community guy. And, you know, it's obvious to me that he wants me around young people.
So hey, aren't you teaching now?
Huh?
Aren't you teaching now?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
You know, how would they allow that? How would they allow me to teach theology? I tell you, God works in mysterious ways. I think he's the joker, too.
Well, he knows what needs to be done, so he just put us in the right place at the right time.
No doubt about it, Deacon. How long have you been a deacon now?
I'm from class of 03.
Right
class
after
of 2003.
Yeah, right after me.
A year after you, yeah.
And so what led you to become a deacon?
Oh, just a lot of discernment, actually. I'm a convert. I came into church and as an adult. And then as I was discerning what to do and just feeling like God was calling me to something, I just got more involved with the church. I became an usher, a lector, got involved with the Knights of Columbus. And then I was looking at the Franciscan charism, and I was discerning becoming a second Franciscan. And I became a second Franciscan in 1990 here in Chicago at Port Ministries on the south side of Chicago. And I was discerning, actually, could I, you know, be a deacon? You know, can I serve the poor? Because, my first mass was when I was in the military And my first mass, when I was, it was a field mass, and I fell in love with worship and wanted to become more involved. And that's how I went through the RCA program to become Catholic. And I was trying to figure out how I can go from, you know, being in a uniform to serving the poor and living out the life as a Christian. So I was just seeing if I can do it, and I just stayed with it, and God just changed my life and my viewpoint on life, and here I am as a deacon, Catholic Church.
Man, I'm telling you, you know, I'm just sitting here listening to you, Deacon, and I'm so tickled to death, you know, to hear you talk about this transformation and yet also your desire to follow God's will. And I sort of preached on that Sunday. It's so important for us to listen to God, you know, to make our lives better, because I believe that my life, well, not only is my life better, but my life has been saved because I have followed Christ now, you know, these many years. And so I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
Now, you
never know if God's going to call you to anything. So just pretty much do something until God moves you, you know. Don't do something, but do something. You know, don't just stand there. Just stay moving. God knows you want to do something. He'll use you, put you in the right place at the right time, and things will develop.
Man, if that's not wisdom, I don't know what is. Just do something. And you're right, and he'll catch you in midstream, won't he?
Yeah.
and direct you to St. James. That's awesome. Now, you're married, too, Deacon, to Avis, right?
Yep. We just celebrated our 26th year of wedding, our marriage anniversary. And we just got back in town, actually, over the weekend.
Where'd you go?
Las Vegas.
Oh, my God. You went to Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, it's not Temptation City like it used to be, Deacon. I can say that much. And even if it was.
Also, there's a lot of family-oriented things there. We don't gamble or anything. We went there mainly on a lead or invitation from another deacon couple.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember Deacon Roosevelt Jones.
That name is familiar.
Yeah, he was a deacon. He's Father Jones' dad. He was a deacon when I was in lay ministry.
Did you say Father Jones' dad?
Yeah, Father Jones.
Oh, dad. My God, I would love to meet him.
And, well, he passed.
Oh, okay.
And he was always encouraging me and Avis to go to Vegas, and we never got around to it, and, you know, with the kids growing up and the diaconate program. And this year we finally got a chance, and even though they both passed, we still went there, and just to go someplace different. And we had a nice time. Went to a couple of shows, places to eat. There's a lot of walking around there. My wife did a lot of shopping. Found some nice coffee shops. Yeah, but we had a good time. Got away with just us being a couple.
Well, you guys deserve it, not only deserve it, but I'm sure you needed it because you both worked so hard. And, you know, you've been married 26 years. That's so awesome. So what's been the secret to, you know, keeping you guys together and, you know, enjoying each other for so long? What's the secret?
Well, we met in the young adults group at our parish.
Okay.
And we were just like two young people trying to figure out, you know, what God's going to do with us. And we got involved with the young adults group with St. Basil for Emergence Visitation. And we started, my wife, who was the wife of my time at the time, she was involved with the youth groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was pretty much just helping out wherever as an usher, an elector. And now and then they would need someone to drive a bus or something, so I helped out there. So we both were pretty much based, two good people just trying to figure out a way through church. And then just started developing from there. We started dating, and then, you know, our marriage is based on our faith.
Yes.
You know, so it's rooted strong, and that's pretty much how we deal with things spiritually. We're both strongly involved in our church, and we love God, and we love our faith.
Yeah, don't we all? I hope we all do. Deacon, we're going to take a break right now and join you in just a few minutes again, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
The words of everlasting life.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
More than 2,000 people share the message of evangelization at the Renew My Church Summit. We update you with the latest developments from the Synod on Youth in Rome. 7 archdiocesan schools receive Blue Ribbon Awards from the U.S. Department of Education, and you'll love our photos of pets who showed up for their annual blessing.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Hey, Deacon, we're back.
Great.
Now, the main reason why we have you on the show is because you've got something coming up pretty special, don't you, this year?
It's December 1st at 12 noon. We're having our luncheon for Zacchaeus House.
Okay.
At St. James Catholic Church in Lamont.
Now, Zacchaeus House was the brainchild, I believe, of my classmate, Deacon Abram Sally. He and Bishop Perry. And so, isn't this a special anniversary as well?
For the ministry?
Yeah. Is it not about 15 years that Zacchaeus House has been open?
Yeah, it's been 15 years, but we're not looking at it. We're not celebrating the 15 years. It's pretty much just a regular luncheon. We did it when our 10th year.
Okay, got you, got you.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, 15 years, because I recall Abram. You know, he and I both talked about this in our diaconate, you know, class when we both were, of course, aspirants. And he was talking about his dream. I was talking about my dream. And so he, you know, opened up the Zacchaeus House with Bishop Perry. I knew a year before I opened up the Bronzeville Community Clubhouse. So that's how I've been able to kind of keep up with the years. And so, unfortunately, we both know that Deacon Sally has since passed, and yet this Zacchaeus House is still there. And are you still the director there?
Yes, I am. Deacon Sally passed in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I came on that year. I've been director since then.
And when you did that, I mean, that pretty much changed your life, didn't it?
Well, it's pretty much... I've been involved in shelters for quite a while.
Okay.
You know, I was at Port Ministries for 10 years, working at the men's shelter. We had a family shelter and a women's shelter there. But that's where I was at when Deacon Sally passed.
Do you know... I'm sorry, go ahead. You want to finish that?
No, that was it.
Yeah, do you know how he came up with that name, or how Bishop Perry and he came up with that name, Zacchaeus
House? I
believe
Bishop Perry came up with it from Scripture.
Ah.
You know, from Zacchaeus, it's Luke 19.
Of course.
Yeah, and that's the name they went with.
Now,
and where they were, Zacchaeus was in a tree and saw Jesus and invited him back to his house, and where he showed him hospitality. And where people met Jesus, and that's pretty much how Zacchaeus House is set up, where people come for hospitality and show them human dignity, and hopefully while they're there, they experience Jesus.
Yeah, you know, I just love the story of Zacchaeus and how he, like the apostles, along the way, answered the call. Jesus called him, and he answered, and he jumped out of that tree. You know, I can just see it. I have a vivid, you know... outlook on that, and it's just wonderful that story is, and then to, you know that you're taking Scripture, or the bishop took Scripture, and he decided to sort of form this house that you've been a director of after that. So tell our audience, what exactly do you offer there?
Well, a person can stay there for up to 2 years. And an individual comes to the house. They receive their own room. And also they meet with me regularly just to set goals, make sure they're meeting their goals. But also each individual guy who stays there gets their own deacon mentor.
Okay.
Someone to help guide them and extra prayer support, someone they can bounce ideas off, someone actually encourage them to stabilize their lives and work on what needs to be done. Because a guy can come there from many different backgrounds. He can come there from jail, from addiction issues, just bad health issues. It's a place of mercy and grace where a person comes for a second chance.
I just think it's such an awesome ministry. Is there anything else like it in the capacity in which you guys operate?
I don't know, because they are strongly faith-based.
Right.
And that's where what makes us stand out. We don't receive any government grants or government money. All our stuff is donated through churches, parishes, individual church people, or individuals just care about the homeless men trying to get their life together.
And that goes to show the hearts of those listeners who, you know, have helped over the years. And so what kind of turnover have you had? And, you know, are you keeping in touch with those guys once they leave?
Yeah, we have they call themselves the alumni. We used to call it aftercare, but they kind of got together and said, no, we want to be called the alumni.
I like that.
Yeah. There are guys who moved out. Their lives are stable. And they stay connected with the house either through they meet with me or stay involved with our events. Stay in touch. We meet at least once a year. They're near their location at like a restaurant, a coffee shop, and just update what's going on. Even guys who are out of state will call in and check in to say how things are going. But one of my guys who was out of state and has realized that he had met the goals he made when he was in the house, and he said it's time for him to set new goals.
Mm.
You know, so, well, this is...
Deacon, you know, that is just so wonderful to hear. That's got to make your heart feel good, no?
Yes, it does. It lets us know that the ministry is functioning well. And we always know that the ministry is blessed by God, but just to have evidence of God's life just growing and developing, people feel like they're being restored, they're stable. They're moving on. And they're able to help others. We have seen guys who just learn to give back to the community.
Amen. And that is so wonderful that, one, it's still open, it's still operating, it's helping out a lot of people. When you look at Zacchaeus House, do you have a number of guys who have passed through there?
Yeah, do we stay in touch with, or just number of guys who passed through in general?
Yeah.
Well, the number of guys who passed through the houses has been open. The count is roughly around 68.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys we stay in touch with is around between 15 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who call every other week, because one of the things that happens when a person becomes homeless, they really don't have they lose family contact.
Mm-hmm.
And the house things become that connection for some of the guys.
Right.
Some guys can restore those things, but some guys didn't have anything to restore. Like they came out of foster care and they really didn't have a family group that constantly stayed in touch with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually contact us more because they really don't have a lot of people to contact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all different degrees. Depends on where the guy is at when he leaves the house, or where actually when he comes to the house. Sometimes family and friends are supportive when they go through the program. Sometimes they don't have anyone at all supporting them when they go through the house.
Okay. Deacon, we're going to break once more and join you in just a few minutes, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
we invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, where more than 2,000 Catholics shared the message of evangelization. And we'll visit with two priests who are playing key roles in the ongoing Renew My Church process.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100. Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Okay, Deacon, we're back here, and if you're listening, you're listening to Catholic Chicago. We're on WNDZ 750, and if you like our show, tell your neighbor about us every Tuesday. Deacon, so tell our listeners how they might be able to help you here at Zacchaeus House. What kind of things can they do to help you?
One, you can come to our event December 1st at 12 noon at St. James Catholic Church in Lamont. And also, you can go to our website, look at our needs list, ZacchaeusHouse.org. And also can send support to us financially, help us maintain the building, and also just definitely keep the poor in your prayers, especially anyone that who set up the prayers of faith for their parish. Always put a prayer in for the poor and the needy. And lift up all the guys in Zacchaeus House in prayer and all the guys in aftercare. That those who are trying to get their life together need a lot of support spiritually.
And Deacon, I know that there are deacon wives and deacons, as you said earlier, as mentors who do a lot of helping out there and assist you. But for some of our listeners who don't have the internet, can you provide an address?
Yes, definitely. The financial support can be sent through the Archdiocese of Chicago Vicariate 6 office. It's put attention to Zacchaeus House, 3525 South Lake Park Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653.
And can you repeat that for us?
Archdiocese of Chicago Vicariate 6 office, Zacchaeus House, 3525 South Lake Park Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653. That's where donations can be sent. It's sent through Bishop Perry's office.
All right, excellent. And Deacon, you know, when we have you, I should say, on our show again, we probably should get one of the men whom, you know, you've helped over the years and get them to talk about their experiences and how Zacchaeus House has been such a big help to them.
That'd be great. That's what's one of the things going to happen at our event. A couple of guys are going to speak and share how Zacchaeus House helped their lives.
So let me ask you this, because, I mean, you've been involved with Zacchaeus House, among so many other things, since you become a deacon. What would Alfred Coleman look like had he not become a deacon? Do you know?
Alfred Coleman would have became a deacon somewhere in somebody's diocese.
I love it. Yes, sir. Because God had it on his mind to make it so, right?
That's right.
All right. So that is great to hear. And What do you imagine now? Zacchaeus House has been operating for 15 years now. What would you imagine it looking like in the next 15 years? What is your vision for it?
What vision? That's possible having it in another location, like another one in another city, another state, and just seeing out a way we can duplicate it so others can share in the blessing.
And you know what I was thinking too, Deacon? You know, with some of these church closings that we have, that maybe that's an opportunity to, I don't know, gut them out and make a larger Zacchaeus House, even in Chicago.
Well, Zacchaeus House right now is in an old convent.
So is it really?
Yeah, it's an old convent.
And where is it located?
122nd and Farnell.
Oh, right around the corner from you, and not far from where your original location was.
Yes.
Okay, so you are able to house how many guys at one time?
So we house 9 guys at a time.
Okay.
We have 9 rooms.
And you said you give them at least 2 years to get themselves together?
Yeah.
And you don't force anybody out, I'm sure.
Of course not. No, we'll have to take someone in to make them homeless. You know, no. But there's always a need that things need to be adjusted because it's life. It's human life. You know, nothing's perfect, so we have to stay flexible.
Yeah, and I'm just delighted to hear that you're now in a convent, because that now, to me, sounds like it's more appropriate for that idea concept that we have for Zacchaeus House. So it sounds like that's an amazing space for you to be at. So is there anything else you want to share with our listening audience about any other functions, ministries that you're involved in, or even Avis? You know, you want to share anything?
Well, definitely St. James, my parish, we have Mass on Sundays, 9:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 2 Masses, and we have a weekday Mass in the rectory at 7:30 a.m., and every first Friday from 7 to 10, we have adoration. A blessed time, and also have confessions at the same time. So just come visit St. James on Wabash. It's 2907 South Wabash. You get a chance. All are welcome.
Deacon, did you have a chance to go to the convocation?
To the what?
To the convocation.
The convocation? You mean the summit?
Correct. Forgive me.
I was there.
Yeah. And so what was your impression? You know, we had Deacon Shumpert on last week, and he talked about some of the things that he took from it. What was your impression?
You know, it was very informative. It was very informative. But I think there's roughly about 10 members from St. James that were there. And it was good running into other people that were in our grouping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the church is placed in the grouping.
Right.
And it was good talking about the whole process and trying to get a bigger picture of everything.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes as a parishioner, you only see within your four walls, but the summit gave you more of a larger view of the whole thing. And it was good dialogue. It was good, healthy space, and it was a place for a healthy conversation, and also gave us a lot of information to take with us. You know, my wife's on... She's on a team that's working with people in South Holland,
mm-hmm.
the South Holland area. 3 parishes that are going through their conversation. And she's guiding them through that. And she's seen them there, said it was good for them also to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the summit was a good thing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And
it was a very good thing. It was healthy.
And I wish I could have made it. But, you know, weekends really become busy times for me. So, Deacon, before we go, are we going to see you tomorrow at the meeting, the deacon's meeting?
Sorry, can I make it? Yes, we have another thing outside with the cluster. So.
Okay, well, that's how busy our lives are, and you know that's not a problem. Deacon, God love you.
That's the diaconate.
Yes, sir, that's the diaconate. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show. We love you, and hopefully I'll see you guys soon, you and Avis.
Oh, thank you very much. God bless. Thanks for having me.
All righty, take care.
Trustworthy, giving wisdom. Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to